Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin. Chase McCabe here with you. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier handling the ones and twos today. Hope you're having an awesome start to your Friday. A lot of you may be off work today. That's okay. We're here to make you laugh. Have a good time. Comedian Aaron Weber going to join us in studio here in just a few minutes. And we'll have some fun with him. I've seen him at Zany's.
Yep.
A few other things around town. Funny guy.
I've seen him in his living room when I was out walking around. But he also represents.
Did he know you were there?
Or? He does not.
Okay.
He also represents the greatest city in America. That's Donelson, 37214. Yep. As we affectionately call it, God's country.
Yes.
Over there. So, and our whole job in Donelson is to keep all the East Nashville people away from us. So
yeah.
We have different landmarks and points where we have guard station where we keep people from East Nashville out of Donelson. So that's our goal.
I know you're excited about tonight because tonight is the Gasparilla Bowl, which we will air here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Our bowl game's presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. But do you know who's participating in the Gasparilla Bowl?
Well, I think I had Gasparilla, but I had an antacid one time that
That's
got
good.
Rid of that.
That's good.
Is that in Tampa?
Probably. Tampa and Orlando, I think, have half the bowl games.
Because that sounds like a pirate.
Yeah.
Gasparilla Bowl, Temple and Butler.
No. Central Florida.
Okay.
And Georgia Tech.
Oh, really? Georgia Tech made a bowl game?
Yeah.
What's their record? Are they 6-6?
Probably.
Did that crappy Miami game give them enough wins to get into the bowl game where they didn't kneel the ball?
Probably.
Do they still run the triple option, Joe?
They're 6. Both teams are 6-6.
Paul Johnson was their head coach. He was at Navy, and then to Georgia Tech and ran the triple. I love the triple option.
I love it for three years in high school.
It's just, if you got a good quarterback, I tell you, everybody's like, who's the greatest quarterback of all time? I think Dan Marino is. But the greatest college quarterback of all time was Tracy Ham at Georgia Southern, who ran the ham bone. Not the wishbone, the ham bone to perfection, and you couldn't tackle him.
So my offensive coordinator at the high school I went to, he actually went to Georgia Southern, and that's kind of why we ran the offense in high school. And then
after
my junior season, they all left, and a new regime came in. And
it happens.
So, yeah.
But if you could run the wishbone, I mean, Alabama ran perfection, Oklahoma ran perfection, but once you get behind, you figure it out, you're done. There's no way you can come back. If you're down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, you can't do the triple option. It doesn't work. But I miss that big time.
Ben is here to pick at you now.
Yeah.
Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I am very refreshed and full of energy after we had the shortest day of the year.
Okay, Ben. We'll talk here, Ben. I tried to put that aside yesterday after everybody was on my side for everything. And so now I heard it again last night. One of the weather people was like, did you enjoy the shortest day of the year? I'm like, it's 24 hours.
Right. It's still
24
hours.
Stop doing that. And then somebody argues me on Twitter about how the atomic clock is 9 seconds off. I'm like, stop it. My clock goes around 12 to 12, right? Don't all of our clocks do that?
Yeah,
it's 24 hours.
My atomic clock is off sometimes, but yeah, that's
well, that's because you're drinking sugar over there, man. Got to get you off that stuff. But yeah, so thank you for all who took my side about getting agitated about being the shortest day of the year.
How was your conversation with Ian yesterday? Did it go pretty good?
Yeah, he turned his key card in. We're good. Yeah. And now he's on double sicker probation.
No, I need Ian.
Yeah, so thanks for all that. We'll do it again in June when it's the longest day of the year.
There you go.
Just insane.
During our Olympic time, yes.
Yeah. By the way, we have one more pair of Kenny Chesney tickets to give away today. So we've got to do that.
Okay.
We'll do that at some point. And also we'll have a pair of tickets to see Aaron Weber tomorrow at Zanies.
Saturday night.
Yeah, so Zanies. We'll be giving that away as well.
Okay. I look forward to that. Do you want to go to the breaker? I mean, Aaron's
here. Yeah, let's
go
ahead and do that. We'll step aside. We'll bring Aaron in the studio. We'll have some fun with him. We'll also take some questions for a comedian. You can ask questions to a comedian on our text line.
I think it's great.
Line.
If you ever want to ask a comedian a question, unfiltered, ask away. Aaron's going to answer. It's our therapy session with Aaron Weber.
615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Feliz Navidad. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're presented by Regal Realty Group. A little Christmas music. Your go-to Christmas karaoke song. That's our standing question of the day. But excited to have comedian Aaron Weber in studio with us for the rest of the show. He'll be at Zany's this weekend. We'll have a pair of tickets to give away for tomorrow night's show as well. Aaron, what's up? Good to see you.
What's going on, man? Best karaoke Christmas song? Hark the Herald Angels Sing, dude. That gets them going.
That'd be a good one.
Pull that out at the bar and just see how it gets the people going.
Can you do that during this next 45 minutes?
I think so. Yeah, that might be enough time to do the whole song. Yeah, yeah. I know. I do every verse, just so you know.
Nice.
Please open your hymnals.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to be at Zany's for a couple of shows, but we've talked to you, you know, on this show before, seen you obviously around town. How have things been going with you?
They've been going great, man. I've been staying busy. Excited to be at Zany's this weekend. I've never done a full weekend there. They've let me headline one-nighters here and there, but it's a big deal to get to do the whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, four shows. I mean, that's pretty exciting for me.
Why is that such a cool club? I mean, I've been to many shows there, and it's intimate and everything, but everybody that comes through there loves playing Zany's.
It's one of the oldest clubs in the country. It's got a lot of character, you know. You can tell that people smoke cigarettes in there recently. it's that kind of building. And you just walk around. If you get there, walk around before the show, just look at the headshots. Look at everybody that's performed there. Every comedian you've ever heard of, all the greats have all been on that same stage. And I don't think they've cleaned the carpets since then. So I'm standing where they've stood, you know. So that's cool for me as a comic. It's like the most prestigious stage in the city for me.
I agree. How many times have you played Zany's?
Hundreds. Hundreds, yeah. Well, if you count all spots, like doing short sets and stuff, yeah, hundreds of times.
You remember your first time?
I do remember my first time.
And?
Yeah, I did a showcase called Comedy Out the Yazoo. I did a 7-minute set. And that was when I had a day job. I brought everybody from work there. It was, I'm sure if I saw a tape of it now, it would be embarrassing. But I was happy with how it went at the time.
What was your day job back then?
I worked at a telemarketing company.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I got fired. It was one of those, you ever get fired and you're like, no, I agree with you. Like, I should be fired. they were so nice at that job. They sat me down and they go, hey, listen, like, you know, you're supposed to make 120 calls a day. You made 9 yesterday. And I was like, we saw that you played ping pong for 3 hours in the break room. And I was like, so I'm fired right there. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, we didn't want to say it, but yeah, yeah, you're gone. So anyway, I don't miss that job.
Like, yeah, I appreciate you, you know, but.
they were like, this would be a lot easier if we didn't like you, but, you know, you're fine.
So what drew you to comedy and wanted to do this?
I was a fan of it growing up. You know, I watched a lot of it. I had a lot of routines memorized that my dad would make me perform for the family at Thanksgiving and stuff. So once you realize there's no barrier to entry, you can just show up and do it. I was like, yeah, I might as well give it a try. So I started a little bit in college, and then when I moved back here after school, I started going up around town, and that's all I've been doing for 8 years now.
Would people tell you, like, you know, hey, you're funny, you should try this? Like, was that kind of some of the encouragement too?
Or? Some comics say that. I never was that guy. I was the guy kind of a few feet back from everybody thinking I'm funnier than they, you know. They don't even know. I'm so much fun. If you gave me time to write some stuff, I could be, you know, that was me. So I just went out to kind of prove it to myself.
I wonder, when you got fired, did you call your parents?
No. I don't think I told them for a long time.
How's the job going, Aaron?
Yeah, I think I didn't tell them until I had another job lined up. Like, kind of just – and I took that job with the understanding of I'm doing this secondary to comedy. But I didn't talk to my parents about that. No, they're pretty out of the loop about that stuff. Yeah, I didn't tell her about my wife until we were, you know, pretty seriously dating. I don't know. That's just kind of my relationship with them. My dad was my high school principal. My mom was a teacher, you know, so I was kind of with them every day, all day, for my entire life. So now that we're all living separate, I don't know. We're not as in each other's business as we used to be.
What high school is this?
Pope John Paul II High School, Hendersonville, Tennessee. Yeah. I think it's called Pope Prep. It's since been rebranded. So now it's Pope Prep High School, which you might know, Golden Tate played there. Yeah. I played 1 year with Wesley Tate, his younger brother.
So you played for Jeff Brothers?
I did play for Jeff Brothers. Okay. Yeah. He was a great coach. And I played there for 2 years. I moved here when I was a junior in high school.
What high school in Alabama was it?
Montgomery Catholic.
Okay.
Montgomery Catholic. Who, you know, what's funny is neither of these programs, they were both good schools. Neither of these were good football programs when I went there. But now they're both doing very well since I left. It's like once I got out of there, they're like, all right, let's get a football team going.
Well, I like looking up People's High School for notable alumni. Mm-hmm. And let's see, you're Montgomery Catholic.
I'll give you a fun one for Montgomery Catholic. Okay. The guy that Ted – or the woman that Ted Kennedy killed.
Chappaquiddick?
Yeah.
Wow.
She taught there.
Oh, she taught? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know if that counts as an alumnus.
Oh, we'll take that.
But that's probably the most fun one I can think of.
Wow. You have I can't pronounce this guy's name. He's a basketball player in Milan.
Usman Cisse?
Yeah.
How about
that's
that?
That's how you say his name?
Usman Cisse was an exchange student who came to Catholic High School, Montgomery, Alabama. He was the number one or number two prospect in the country that year. Opted to not go to college. He had offers from everybody, Duke, Kentucky, whatever. Opted to go to the NBA draft, blew out his knee.
Ugh.
And just never – I think he played in the developmental league for a while with, like, the Nuggets, but never recovered from that.
Wow.
It was such a bummer. I remember going to watch him. They won state 2 years in a row. This little nothing Catholic school just won state 2 years in a row because they had Usman Cisse. They had this other guy, Thomas Nagis, who played at Clemson. Now he plays in Europe. And they were just so fun to watch as a kid. They were like men playing with children, you know, just dunking on these little white kids. I mean, it was so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. That's funny. He's top of the list.
Yeah, there's only two here. There's
all right, get me on that list.
then there's Terry Mays,
nah,
Austrian American professional basketball player.
Austrian.
So they're all basketball players.
He graduated in '92 from your old high school.
Okay, all right. I gotta comb through that list later.
Comedian Aaron Weber is here with us in studio. He'll be at Zany's this weekend. We'll have some tickets to give away here in just a little bit. A question on our text line for you from Ben. How tough is it to toe the line and constantly advertise your humor without spoiling too many jokes?
Man, that's the struggle that every comic's going through right now. If you'll notice, if you're a comedy fan, then you probably have stand-up comedy all over your social media feeds, right?
Yeah.
And you've probably noticed a trend of it's a lot of crowd work. It's a lot of sort of off-the-cuff moments with the crowd. And that's because comics don't want to burn their material. They don't want you to show up and see – you know, what you've already seen online. So unfortunately, that's the reality of it now, is these comedians, because they have to put out content and they feel like they have to stay in the algorithm, they got to put out this crowd work stuff. I'm not really a crowd work guy. If something happens at a show, you know, I had a fight at my show a couple weeks ago, full on fist fight in the front row. That was Bridgeport, Connecticut, kind of comes with the territory. But stuff like that happens. It's like, yeah, let's make a clip of it. Let's post it, whatever. But on the whole, I'm not really a crowd work guy, so I just have to keep writing more. That's kind of.
But I've heard your baseball card story like four times. It gets funnier each time.
Oh, thanks.
Right? Is that the one?
Yeah, the baseball card. Yeah, you're like, yeah, you do the same set every time I see you, and it's like, no.
But it's funny.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. Yeah, I'm trying to. I'll add some stuff to it and try to say it differently. But thank you, man. Yeah, it's a baseball card bit. I collect baseball cards. So I have a long joke about that it just picked up some steam on the hobby Twitter, like baseball card people on Twitter.
Right.
It just got posted by one of them. So I'm starting to see some love from that.
I love it, man. Yeah, that's a good one. If you come see it at Zany's, will you tell it at Zany's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. I like that. Now there's no pressure. Now I can be like,
yeah.
Yeah, Joe told me to do this bit.
Right. Yeah, don't give that away.
We've heard this five times. Well, blame it on Big Joe on the go.
So are you one of those guys that you always have a notebook or something, you know, in case you see something that you think could lead to something funny?
I write it down. Well, I have a notes app on my phone that I've used since I started. So you can scroll through here. I've got every set I've ever done.
Good Lord.
For the last 8 years on here. So I kind of jot notes down. There are still those old school guys that have a little spiral notebook in their back pocket and they take it out. You know, those people usually have terrible handwriting and they just jot down whatever. But I'm a little more, I like it on the phone so I can use it on my computer and stuff too.
Now, for those that don't know, you went to Notre Dame.
I did.
And we talked about this before. You were there during the Manti Te'o.
Oh, yeah. I was a pretty fun time to be. 2010 to 2014. Brian Kelly's first 4 years there. So his third year, my junior year, was the national championship year where we got obliterated by Alabama.
Right.
But that was the year that Manti Te'o was the story in sports, right? He won everything except the Heisman. He was the most decorated college football player of all time. That's all forgotten now. Now anybody knows about him is the girlfriend stuff. But he was, dude, that was a fun season, you know, to go 12-0
right
up until then.
But you see him around campus, right? And all this is going on?
I would see him all the time. He didn't know me, but right. I would see him sometimes just out and about. It's a small enough school that you would see everybody. And there are no athlete-only dorms so all the football players would just live with regular people and stuff, so they'd be in your classes. So they felt like this is one of our guys here, you know, who's the best player in college football. And then it all came crumbling down.
Did you see him during all the crumbling down? Did you see him around campus and like, oh, I don't want to say anything and don't make eye contact with him?
Oh, you know what? Maybe a little bit afterwards I would see him out, but there was probably a little bit of space.
Yeah.
Between when that story came out and everything.
It's like a kiosk worker at the mall. You don't make eye contact, right? You're just like, God, don't look, don't look, don't look. It's a scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's me and the at Target. Like every time I go to Target and it's just like they're just looking.
Oh, the cell phone guy?
Yeah, wanting to sell you a cell phone package.
And like Boost Mobile or one of the Cricket
or AT&T.
The big dogs.
They're out there. I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. Like, yeah. But are you? Like, I really am. They chase me out to my car.
I always just go, I already have you guys, no matter who.
Oh, I do that too, and they don't believe me.
Good one.
Like, they keep, like, it's like, finally one day I was like, do you have like a list of responses in how you respond to my responses? Like, if I say, I'm not interested, you keep going. Or if I say I already have you and you don't believe me, you know, it's just
That's the stuff I was supposed to do at my telemarketing job, but I never did. There's a flow chart of how you flow through the conversation, you know.
You reminded me of Michael Scott in The Office when he had that part-time job doing telemarketing and they fired him after a couple days.
I think the difference is he was actually – he didn't put up the numbers, but he was good at that job.
Right. That's right.
They kind of – throughout that show, they'd have flashes to remind you that he's actually a good salesman.
That's right, they did.
If you made a show about me, there'd be none of that. There'd be just shots of me playing ping pong with my buddy in the break room.
Oh, that's good. Questions for a comedian, 615-737-1025. Hit on our text line, and then we'll ask Aaron. Anything's open, right?
Let's get into it.
Anything is open for sure. I got a few more myself. Justin and Greenbrier has one, so we'll get to that coming up next. I know. How about that? Coming up next. And if you want to go see Aaron along with Laura Peak and Casey Shornima tomorrow at Zany's, the 9:15 show. It's the home for the holidays. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. We'll hook you up with a pair of tickets to see him tomorrow. More with Aaron next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. He's Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier, Aaron Weber, comedian, in studio with us. He'll be at Zany's this weekend and has been all around, as we've been talking about. And you've had a lot of fun, I know, with the podcast with Nate Bargatze and who else is on there? Dusty Slade, Ryan Bates.
Ryan Bates, yeah, four of us.
The Nate Land podcast. That's just got to be a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, dude. I still can't believe that I'm on it. Nate was, I would never say this to his face, but he was probably my favorite comedian at the time. And 2020 hit, you know, and all the comedy clubs closed. So I got a phone call out of the blue. Hey, let's do a podcast, from Nate. And it was pretty insane. A week later, I'm sitting across from him at a table, and we've been doing it for 3 years now. It's still a lot of fun to do every week.
I like Brian Bates. I'm not a fan of his language.
He gets after it, dude. Look, I'm afraid to go places. You know what I mean? Brian will take you there whether you want to or not.
Right. Oh my goodness. It's great.
I had Dusty Slay in studio. I was just starting out and did a Saturday morning show with my friend, and Dusty, I think we connected on Twitter or something. I was like, "Hey, you want to come in studio on our show?" Cuz he was just kind of getting started too, and I saw him open for somebody and thought he was really funny.
Yeah,
and so got him in.
He's great. He's got a Netflix special coming out soon.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. I'm so excited for him. That's awesome.
He's very dry. We grew up like 30 minutes from each other.
Oh, nice.
Didn't know. He's a little bit older than me, but he grew up in a trailer park. And he talks about that. I'm not outing him. He lives in a trailer park like Opelika, Alabama, and I'm from Montgomery. So we were like not far from each other. And then we met here in Nashville. So it was small world stuff.
Not Greenbow, Alabama?
Not Greenbow.
We got some text. Well, I'll read the first one, Chase. Yep, this is from John for Aaron. How often is there a confrontation with another comic because they think you've stolen their material?
Ooh. Not that often. I got to say, and stealing jokes is not as big of a thing as it's made out to be. It just does not happen that often. In my experience, what it is 99 times out of 100 is two comics will go, hey, we both have a joke about the same thing. Let's just talk about it. And you go, oh, my joke's a little bit different. It's always parallel thinking is the term they use. But it's like, dude, there's a million comics. There's only so many things to talk about. It's inevitable you're going to have two people with the same kind of bit, right? If you watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, there's a great moment where Seinfeld and Brian Regan are like, we both have a bit about the exact same thing, and it's just that's just the way it is. You know? I have never seen a guy just blatantly steal somebody's joke and do it. I've never seen it. It happens, but it's not like an epidemic the way it's presented to be.
Justin and Greenbrier says, I know comics go up with a set, but how often does it get derailed by an audience member or just something you might have to improv in the moment?
Not that often. A skilled comic will do what he needs to do to survive and then hopefully revert back to the plan, right, to get back to the act. But I had a show this past weekend in Tampa, Florida that – and this is rare. This does not happen all the time. But 3 minutes in, I was like, oh, no, like the show's over. Like there's zero chance of this being a normal show. It was late show Friday, which is historically the worst show of the weekend, late show Friday. Just some drunk guys in the front row, this weird dude in the back. It was like 20 people in the room. I hated all 20 of them. they hated me, and they were like raising their hand and asking me. That's when you realize like 4 minutes in, you're like, well, this is what the show's going to be. You know, for the next 41 minutes, this is what I'm going to have to do is just talk to you morons out there. And that's pretty rare. That's pretty rare. Most of the time, something happens in the room, somebody's annoying, they kick somebody out, or there's a fight like there was in Bridgeport, Connecticut a few weeks ago, and then you get back to the show. You know, you find a way to revert back.
If you ever the open mic nights are a lot of fun, and you know Zany's the new material. It's a lot of fun. You ever go and sit in the crowd and on these like open mic new material, and you're in the crowd and nobody's laughing at the comedian? I mean, is it just from that perspective? Is it just?
Yeah, I've been on both sides of that. I've been the guy on stage. Yeah, there are sometimes it's like if you ever go to an open mic, sometimes you'll hear a comic bombing, but the back of the room is really laughing. And you're like, why are they laughing? That's the comics in the back laughing at the situation.
Yeah.
But I've been to thousands of open mics. Thousands. And, yeah, dude. I mean, the majority of the sets are not good. But that's what the open mic is for.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's just to figure out what's good and what's not. And most of it's not. Most of the thoughts in your head are garbage. You know? So it's good. You just need to confirm that with an audience of regular people, and then you take it to a real show later.
They're rolling through. Chase, you want to read these?
I got one more for me. You know, we've seen, like, Nate just did Bridgestone, and he's been doing these arena shows and everything. And for a comic, I feel like the clubs would be more fun because it's more intimate. You can have audience participation if you want it.
Right.
What is the biggest difference in, you know, a bigger venue as opposed to a smaller venue?
Yeah, like a comedy club, which is my favorite kind of venue to perform in. And granted, nobody else is asking me to headline. But so right now the clubs are where it's at. But you're kind of right on top of them.
Yeah.
Right? You're in it. You're like performing with them. The bigger the venue get, comedy's always better smaller, I think. So the bigger the venue, the farther away the audience is from you, you're kind of performing at them instead of being in the room with them. Now, when you get to do an arena like Nate's doing now,
yeah,
then it kind of becomes a different experience. It's an event. It's a show that people come to be a part of. But like as far as actual comedy, I still think the best place to see live stand-up is at a club. I mean, you could throw something at the comedian. You're that close to him. Please don't. But, yeah, somebody threw a hat at me a couple weeks ago. I've had a real string of just nightmare shows. And I want to make it clear that this is not the usual way it works. Like, most of the time, people are great. People get it. But, yeah, come to a comedy club. You'll like it the best there.
Cole in Nashville, and I feel like this is true for every comic. Is there a joke you put together and you thought it was going to be a hit, but it was a flop when you told it on stage?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. I find actually the more excited I am to do a joke, the more I have built up emotionally into it, the worse it does. Oh, I'm trying to think. I had this bit about I don't even want to repeat it, but I had this bit about my roommate found out his dog had autism. Canine autism, and I thought that was just the funniest thing in there. And I wrote this whole thing about this dog having autism, and it was just never funny. And I tried to force it so many times, and I was like, "Y'all just believe that this is funny," and it never was. Now that being said, I put it on the shelf. Maybe 5-6 years from now, I come back to it, and I go, "Now I know how to do that joke."
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't know if canine autism is one of the. One of the things I want to dig into on stage, but who knows? That happens all the time, though.
Do you have, like, you know, Rodney Danger would have the, it's getting hot in here. Do you have, when a joke bombs, you have, like, anyway.
Yeah, you have all those things. You have all
Dusty's
those lines.
Dusty's just like, we're having a good time.
Yeah, he's got the best one built in.
We're having a good
time. I mean, I've seen him. He'll do a joke that bombs, and then he says, we're having a good time, and you're right back to he's killing again. That's pretty frustrating. Yeah, you have all those lines built in, all those little tools.
I think, is it the success of you and Nate and Brian and Dusty? I mean, there was this whole world for people that wanted to laugh at clean comedy, right? And
yeah.
And you guys are prime examples of this. I mean, selling out shows, and there's just this need and want to bring everybody to a show. And I know comedians make their job sometimes to offend a bunch of people.
Sure.
But you can be funny not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think there's a connotation with clean comedy that I think is earned in a lot of ways, where it's corny, it's dad jokes, it's also like it's often overtly Christian in a lot of ways that I think people are reluctant to kind of get into it. But what Nate's doing, what Dusty's doing, a lot of people are. It's just comedy that it's for adults. Like you can enjoy it.
Yeah,
but. You can have your kid in the car when you're listening to it, or you can bring your kid to a show. They might not get everything, but they're not going to overhear something that you need to worry about.
Good. Let's see. from Craig. How hard is it for a guy like Matt Rife to go out every night and depend on audience members for his show to be funny? That's a good question.
I don't know. I will say Matt Rife's been taking a lot of heat lately, and I've met him once, and he was an exceptionally nice guy. He's very nice. I've never heard a bad word about him personally from other comedians. Now, he's huge. He's exploded the last year or so from crowd work clips. So I think there is a problem. My guess is these people come to his show expecting that's what the show is. But he's a real comic. He's been doing it 10-plus years. So I'm guessing he wants to show up and do an act. But – he's got to find a way to balance that. What my guess is, he goes, we're going to do some crowd work at the end. I want to talk to y'all at the end, but I've got some jokes I want to do first, and just kind of explain it like that.
All right,
that's how I would do it.
It's funny, like comedy in some ways is, you know, like in sports talk radio, there's so many that get in and they're like, oh yeah, I got my phone. I'll just get phone calls. And the whole show is based around getting phone calls.
Sure.
And then what happens when you don't get phone calls? Then what are you going to do? Nothing. It's like, that's why you have to have your plan. You know, when it comes to your comedy shows, and then if the audience participates, great, but that's kind of secondary.
I would like to start taking some phone calls on stage and just see what I can be the phone call guy.
Just get a mic on a car phone. Mike, what's up?
Byron asked, Aaron, who is your favorite comedian that's no longer with us?
Oh, man.
Hedberg, Carlin, who?
Oh, all those guys are great. I was never a George Carlin guy. That was just before my time.
Mitch Hedberg was good, though.
There are guys who are no longer doing – does that mean they're dead or they're no longer doing stand-up?
You can answer.
I see,
everyone.
Like, some Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey's not doing stand-up anymore, but you go back and watch some old Steve Harvey. I mean, he was as good as it gets. Man, I liked Ralphie May. I got into Ralphie May a lot. And he's a guy I met when I started here in Nashville. Very nice guy. He would talk to you like you were peers when I was, you know, just an open
He came here and did a segment with us years ago, and we couldn't use it on air.
Really?
We couldn't. There were so many bleeps that it's like, we're good. Let's take a picture with him, and thank you, Ralphie.
Uh-huh.
But God, yeah, he was funny.
Very sweet guy.
When I went to MTSU, I don't know if they still do this, but the first week of school, they always had usually a comic, but sometimes a band or whatever, and Ralphie May did like 2 years in a row, and I made sure to go every time.
Yeah. Did he? Because,
it was hilarious.
Unfiltered?
Completely. I mean, he had this bit on, like, you know, a bunch of college kids, you know, get
Tell
ready.
It, Chase.
And, well, I have to censor it. But he was talking about, you know, that he always hears girls complaining that, you know, they can't find a right guy. And he's like, we got the guy for the job.
Yeah.
He may not be our best guy. But, like, it was stuff like that. But, he was great.
Yeah, he was awesome.
All right, so we got to give away. We have a game we play at the end of the show called Celebrity Birthdays.
Oh, let's do it.
We want you to be a part of it.
Yeah,
and it's fantastic, and it's more difficult than you think.
Okay.
But we got to give away tickets, right?
We got to give away Kenny Chesney tickets. We gave away the Zanies tickets.
All right.
So thanks for paying attention.
I am. Well, we gave away Zany, right?
Yeah. So now we got to do Kenny Chesney.
Okay. Do we want to do a certain way to do this?
Yeah, I mean, you've been coming up with the question.
Now you get me all nervous because Aaron Weber's here.
We can do it. We'll take the break and you can think on it.
All right, cool.
We'll have Kenny Chesney tickets plus celebrity birthdays. Aaron Weber in studio with us, chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Looking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Friday before Christmas. Aaron Weber, comedian, is in studio with us. He'll be at Zany's tonight and tomorrow. You got how many shows total?
Four shows. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
Nice. So you said the late shows on Fridays are always interesting. What about Saturdays?
Saturday's great. Look, the late show tonight is going to be great. I don't want to put it out there that it'll be awful, but just statistically, if you were to bet on which show would be the worst of the weekend, I mean, I put all my money in late show Friday, just in general, not at Zany's. Zany's polices the room. A lot of clubs, you're on your own up there. You know, you have to figure it out.
Two things real quick. Our Kenny Chesney, you got to go to the text line, 615-737-1025. What island does he escape to get away from life? If you know Kenny Chesney, he's listening today. Kenny, sorry about that. We don't want people going to your house down there, but where do you escape to? And that's it. All right. Is that good?
Text in 615-737-1025. Don't call. Yeah. Text.
Aaron Weber's with us. Aaron, how important is an opening act to your act?
Pretty important, I think. I mean, it's important to any show. It's when you show up to a comedy show, it's just a group of people in a room. And I was taught early on, when you're the opener, your job is to turn that group into an audience.
Ooh.
Right? So to turn a group of people into a stand-up audience. A lot of people, it's their first time ever being at a stand-up show, which is great, but they have to kind of learn how the flow of the show works and how to behave in the room. So that's what a good opener can do.
You have a pre-show ritual, like somebody slapping you in the face and like, come on, Aaron. Get the
No, I've never had – I had a friend who's a very handsome guy, and I used to have to – he used to ask me to grab him before he went on stage and just tell me I'm ugly. Tell me I'm ugly. Just had to channel that kind of energy, and then he'd go out there on the stage. I've never been one of those dudes.
Get him hype. That's what you have to do sometimes. All right, you're going to participate in celebrity birthdays,
which is
something that we do every day here on the show. So, Dr. Crane, hit it.
So here it is. You have a two on either side. You could. So I'm 55. You could say Joe's 57. You're correct. So you got two on either side.
Okay.
You don't have to be dead on. So you got a little area you can work with.
Okay.
53 or 57 type thing.
Yeah. Celebrity birthdays presented by Zach Pillar and his Instagram account. Follow Zach on Instagram at ZachPillarDesign69. Step into his world.
And our theme music is from the greatest TV show of all time, Magnum. So that kind of fuels me. All right. Our first birthday today is actor Hector Elizondo. He was the very nice man in Pretty Woman to Julia Roberts.
Am I still going first?
Okay. Yeah, you go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
62. 66. 87.
Oh, jeez.
Well
done. esteemed British actor Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph?
He played Voldemort in those goofy Harry Potter movies.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. I don't watch Harry Potter.
63.
He's 71.
61. Chase.
Jeez.
Taking down Aaron Weber. I love it.
Let's go.
Who else? Okay. She won American Idol singer Jordan Sparks.
Oh, okay.
Trying to think how long ago that was. Probably 38.
33.
34.
Nice.
Aaron Weber has tied it up.
That's what I'm talking about. No air.
Good job,
Chris Brown featuring her. Great song.
She lives here in Nashville. Singer Megan Trainor. She's all about that bass.
No treble.
That was so quick. It's like y'all done that before.
We have.
Yeah.
34.
36.
30.
Ooh. Oh, sorry, Megan.
Another Nashville guy, country singer and actor Red Steigall.
Red Steigall.
68.
Yeah, the name Red, you got to be pretty old.
Thank you.
The name Red. 76.
85.
That's what I'm
talking about. So it's 1-1. Guitar player Rick Nielsen of Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick.
He played the double neck guitar. Yeah. It was fantastic.
72.
75.
75 exactly.
Nice. Boom.
Aaron Weber's up 2-1.
No surrender.
All right, Chase, you got to get this one. Rapper Luther Campbell of Two Live Crew. You know this one. Come on.
I'm going to say 54.
51.
63.
Oh. Jeez.
Oh, man.
My goodness. The lead singer guitar player for BR549, Chuck Mead, also lives in Nashville. How old is he? Chuck Mead.
64?
Yeah. 73.
63. We're tied at 2. God, I'm nervous now. She was a lead actress in the Blair Witch Project, Heather Donahue.
This is bottom of the barrel stuff.
I know. This is good. 44.
Oh, that's an older movie than you think. I think 54.
Oh, she's 50. Oh, man. Actor Chris Carmack from Grey's Anatomy and The OC. How old is Chris Carmack?
It's my favorite actor.
Right. I love Chris Carmack. Yeah. Should do commercials for CarMax.
We're tied at two. Come on, boys. OC. You got to get this.
52.
Yeah, 57.
He is 43. All right. Yes. This, whoever gets this one wins.
Okay.
News anchor Diane Sawyer.
Oh, man.
Today is her birthday. How old is Diane Sawyer?
Happy birthday, Diane.
71.
Think hard about this, Aaron. This could be a game winner.
Diane Sawyer. 67.
78.
Oh, man.
Oh,
she looks good.
She does.
She looks good for 78.
She does. The news anchors are hard because they've been, especially the ones that have been around for a while.
Right. And they really do blood transfusions and stuff like that. Yeah.
Aaron, thanks so much for hanging out
with
us.
Thank you all,
have
man.
Have fun this weekend at Zany's.
I appreciate it.
Four shows total. Two tonight, two tomorrow.
Thank you. Come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
No doubt about it. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody. We'll be back at it on Wednesday.
Yes, and as we do every show, if you're a guy out there and you're struggling, please call 988 on the cell phone. Talk to somebody if you need to talk to somebody. Remember, it's okay not to be okay. Just let you guys know that we love you and we're thinking about you. If you need to talk, please reach out. And as I say every show, our world is a better place because you are here. Know that.
No doubt about that. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.